Hey, all you cool cats and kittens. This is Dusty Hamlin of the Side Yard Sidebar, and this week we're talking about the Netflix documentary or docuseries Tiger King. And it's pretty incredible. Behind me, you hear Joe Exotic singing, or is it him? We cover that and a bunch more in this episode. So, spoilers are ahead, and you know what time it is.
Let's go!
Welcome to the Side Yard Sidebar. Grab your drink of the night and pull up a chair. Make yourself comfortable as we bring you discussion with substance and some of the best visitors from Boise and beyond. This is the Side Yard Sidebar.
This is the Side Yard Sidebar with your host, Zach, and your co-host and producer of the podcast, Dusty. And we are happy to be making this episode. I think I'll label it Social Distancing Episode 2. Dusty, great to be talking with you. How are you doing?
Yeah. I'm doing all right. For our listeners, Zach and I just FaceTime so we could see each other. But we're going to do this one over the phone again. And I'm doing well. It's getting old. I'm not going to lie. It's getting old, but I'm hanging in there. What about you?
Yeah, I'm pretty tired of it. And it's just, you know, not being able to see people and just have normal interactions of life hasn't been great. But, you know, like I said on the episode last week, there have been some positives in terms of spending time, you know, as a family, doing things around the house potentially that would otherwise be put off. So I'm feeling okay. And the work week actually is kind of going okay, working from home. But then when the weekend gets here, you know, I want to be able to go and hang out with people and do normal things I would do on the weekends. So maybe that's the part that's tough.
Yeah. My wife is struggling with not seeing people and not interacting, kind of like we do, like Fridays, Saturdays, Sundays is when we really do get to go see everybody, and we haven't been able to do that lately. And so, that I'm missing out. As soon as this is clear and ready to go, you better believe we're going to be hanging out. I can't wait.
Yeah, I wonder what that's going to look like because, you know, the governor in Idaho said 21-day shelter in place. But, you know, even as in the coming weeks, there's, you know, more information. Like, I wonder if we're all going to know at the same time, hey, okay, it's fine to go out and do normal stuff, or if people are going to, like, have their own timeline of when they re-enter, like, normal behavior and stuff.
Yeah, I
like
agree.
Business as usual. That'll be interesting to see how it plays out.
Yeah, totally agree. It'll kind of be like, you know, I'm not ready to go yet, or I'm still nervous. So some people will go at their own pace, I think, but I don't know. Hopefully soon. Yeah.
Well, we have a nice episode with us chatting. Let's get it started with Drink of the Night. What do you have over there at the studio tonight?
At the studio, a raspberry bubbly in honor of you. Isn't that the one that you said is your favorite flavor?
Oh, awesome. Yeah, I do like that flavor. I've got a tangerine sparkling water, the La Croix. So that one's pretty good. But yeah, I think raspberry has been my favorite.
Yeah. Now, I did talk to a lady that I work with who also manages an Idaho liquor store. And I talked with her today and asked how she was doing. And she said they are bare. Like, people are buying out alcohol. It's going out of style. She's just
interesting.
Yeah. Like, I think the new regulations say you can have like 6 to 8 people inside the liquor store at one time. So people are waiting outside the liquor store to get in. It's been deemed essential because if you think about it, if you struggle with alcoholism and then all of a sudden they say, nope, liquor store shut down in Idaho, it's state run. Man, can you imagine the hospital visits for people going through withdrawals at that time? That'd be crazy.
I hadn't really thought about that, but yeah, it was surprising to me when I saw the list of essential businesses and it said liquor stores or like beer and wine,
like
what places. Did it say? Sales. Yeah. Places that sell beer and wine.
Yeah.
I thought, okay, that's interesting. I mean, the whole list was interesting to me to see what was considered essential. And to me, it seemed like there were still going to be tons of businesses open and still operating, but with rules, like you're saying, only a certain amount of people can come in at a time, I guess. Yeah, it's pretty crazy. That's for sure.
Yep. Now, I say, let's get into this. Last week, I gave a challenge to all of our listeners to go watch this Netflix series called Tiger King. And some of my friends didn't heed my advice. And they're like, no, I haven't started it yet. So hopefully, if you're listening to this episode, you are caught up. If not, you may want to pause this because we're going to put in some spoilers, right?
Yeah, definitely. Let's break it down. Let's have a conversation about it. I'm excited. The like several podcasts that I normally listen to throughout this last week have had guests that have brought it up. Like on the Joe Rogan podcast, one of the guests asked him if he had watched it yet. He said no. So he broke it down for a couple minutes for Joe Rogan, but he kept saying like, this doesn't, like, I don't need to sell you on this. It doesn't need an introduction. I can't do it justice. You know,
it's true.
So they did talk about a couple things about the show, but mainly he just said, you just have to watch. So,
yeah.
Yeah. Where, I don't know. Where do you want to start with the conversation?
I mean, let's just kind of break it down for people. Well, no, cause if you haven't watched it, you should stop this episode until you watch at least one or two episodes of it. But I mean, the basics is there's a guy, right, named Joe Exotic, who runs a big cat. I don't know. What is it? It's like, it's a big cat sanctuary with tigers and lions and stuff like that. And he's gets into it with a lady named Carol Baskin, who is the owner of Big Cat Rescue. And that's in Florida. And just craziness happens throughout every episode.
Yeah. Definitely. I think overall it's kind of the battle between, or it's about people that own big cats overall. Yeah. And so you'll have some that are, you know, against it and they're trying to help the cats, but yet they still own them and have people come look at them. And then you have people that treat it more like a zoo and like an experience to come see the cats. And a big argument is the cub petting. And like, yeah, that's what it's all about, is the cub petting and if it's right or wrong. So that's what it's centered around. The thing that I really like though, is that there's just a multitude of characters, yeah, of just interesting people throughout the show. Like there might be somebody that, you know, was in charge of like opening and shutting the gates. Like that was their only job, but it was just, you know, they could have, you know, more camera time and you'd still be just as interested. There were people I wanted to see more of, I guess.
Yeah.
They were just very interesting.
Yeah, for sure. Like, the one guy that I really enjoyed, and I can't remember his name, but he's the one without his legs. Two prosthetics, but he was, by the end of it, I really liked him and I want to know more about him.
Yeah, I really liked him. I did like the lady that had her arm bitten off.
Yeah.
And, you know, you see the couple interviews with her and then you find out what happened and, you know, see her without the arm. And, you know, definitely every time she was talking, you know, throughout the documentary, it was interesting. And like her commitment to that place and whatever was driving her to be there, like after the tiger had gotten half of her arm, yeah, I think it said 6 or 7 days after, she was back at the zoo working.
Right.
And I couldn't believe that. That was crazy.
Yeah. I think she did that. Number one, she looks tough. But the other reason think is she wanted to make sure people know it wasn't the zoo's fault. It was her fault for doing something to an animal that could take your arm off, and it did. And so I think she wanted to kind of get back in there and say, look, this was my fault, and I'm still here, which was crazy, but I good for her, I guess, for getting back into it. There was this other guy. There was this running joke, or not even joke, commentary, as some of our friends were watching it, about at the end of each episode, who was the worst person now? Because it seemed like at the end of every episode, there was a person you didn't like more than the others.
Oh, yeah.
And I think Doc Antle Bhagavan, they call him Lord. There's some weird cult going on, or at least that's what other people say. That he was, I had someone text and say, I don't like that guy at all throughout most of it. So he was the most hated by a few of my friends.
Yeah, I think that he's up there on the list. I did think it was funny that my wife Danielle, when watching it, she liked Carol like the first episode and a half, and I didn't really like her that much. I'm like, I don't think this we have the full story on her yet. And then whenever it flipped to where they were showing like people paying money to come in and look at her cats, I'm like, how is that any different? And then it talks about her husband from back in the day. Like, then I'm like, yeah, how do you like her now? So
what did Danny say?
Oh yeah, she changed her tune on it. And I didn't necessarily try to rub it in, but for whatever reason, I just thought, oh man. And even the Doc Antle guy, you kind of see him and you're like, oh, he's doing the same thing, but it's more upscale and super nice buildings, maybe a different experience. But then when you get an episode or two in and then you find out more about him, then you're like, oh gosh, this isn't good.
Yeah.
Now I did think, yeah,
he's crazy.
Didn't you think it was funny though, when you first meet him on the documentary and he's telling the group like, oh, let's do this, this will be a great shot, or let me do that over, and like trying to just make it a show, and the people are sitting there like scratching their head like, okay. And then I love how they just played the whole thing out instead of taking the clip he wanted.
Yeah, he and Carol Baskin did that too, where she's like, okay, so why don't we have him sit there, and they were doing directorial like edits and the actual directors were probably like, yeah, we're gonna leave this in because you guys are idiots, just stick to tigers or whatever. By the way, Joe Exotic is currently in prison, 22 years for the attempted contract killing of Carol Baskin, though nothing ever happened.
But they he's had currently enough in on jail. Him.
But now he's saying he's going to blow the whistle on everybody. And he's talking to PETA, who used to hate him, and now they're going to him for information. Do you think there's going to be a second season all about him trying to get out, or him turning other people in?
Yeah, I think there could be another documentary. I don't know how quickly we would get that. It's probably going to play out over a couple of years, let's say, just like this one. I mean, this one really, if you look at it, like some of the stuff was from way back, but then a lot of it was over the course of like 4 years, right? So it took a long time. But if not another documentary by the same people, maybe by different people, or it would be like just tons of news stories. Like, we're going to be hearing about this for years to come. When new things come up, it'll now be national news instead of just Oklahoma or Florida.
I hope so. I mean, I won't, there's so much to this, and I wish we could break down every episode, because there's literally something crazy in every episode. But yeah, I feel like we all want to know, like Carol Baskin, I want to know how she has changed. I heard she was pretty upset about this whole documentary coming out, because she thought it painted her in a weird light, which I think she did that herself. But
I did see that. I read like an article. It was, you know, several of the people on there, their reaction to it. And one of the ones was John, one of Joe's husbands. He was Madden, the thing I read, because Netflix didn't show some of the footage or interviews they had with him. He had gotten his teeth fixed, I guess.
Yeah.
So he has new teeth, and I'm sure looks great or, you know, different than what you see on the show. And he was kind of sad or mad that they didn't add that in there, which seems reasonable if they had that footage and they only chose to show like the pre teeth work footage. So,
because he had some pretty bad teeth. But yeah, I did see that. And but it makes for, I guess, better TV when you're interviewing a guy with no shirt on and tattoos everywhere, and one of them says, like, privately owned by Joe Exotic or something.
Oh gosh, yeah.
And no teeth. Yeah.
Well, like halfway through, Danielle finally said, why are all his interviews with no shirt on? This is weird. And like, we're trying to decide, like, did he choose that? Did they choose that?
I think
it seemed like he didn't care.
Yeah. So,
oh my gosh.
If you,
I was going to ask you, like, I wanted you to bring up a couple of like the craziest things in your mind from it, you know, a couple examples, and I've got a couple, but also when you look at it, like, who do you feel bad for when you look back at it? Is there anybody that stands out that you are kind of like, because there are, we did talk about, there's a lot of people that are kind of shady or characters that you don't like, but were there any that you felt bad for, I guess?
Yeah. So I think I felt bad for Travis, who is one of Joe Exotic's husbands. So he had two husbands, and neither of which of them were gay, but they married him. And I felt bad for Travis because he was, well, according to the documentary, a meth addict and smoked a ton of pot. And that's all he did. And Joe kind of had him right there and just provided him with all these drugs, and he really wanted to get out, but he was addicted to it and he couldn't. And then as you watch in the documentary, something tragic happens to Travis. But I felt kind of bad for him because he was kind of, he was subject to his own vices and his addictions, and that kind of kept him in a challenging spot.
I definitely felt, I agree with that one, and felt like the part that was sad is when he went to one of the other employees, I think, or somebody within the park and was like, I can't get out of here. I can't leave. Like, Joe will never let me leave.
Yeah.
And that part, you know, that was tough because you could tell, like, he was at the point where he wanted to get out of there, but felt like he couldn't. So felt trapped.
Yeah, so he was one like that. And I don't know. They interviewed some people that had been a part of like Doc Antle's spot and then left his sanctuary. That made it sound like it was also a very controlling place to be. So I felt bad, but then again, they got themselves there and at least this lady got out of there. I don't know. Those were the people I felt bad for.
One of the ones that stood up to me was Rick, and he was the one doing the Joe Exotic TV, but then also making his own documentary.
Yeah.
And when the studio burned down, like when he was describing how he felt, and he's like, all this stuff I had been like done, I just like hit the ground and started crying. I was like, dang. And I, you know, felt bad for him and like all the time and effort. And you could tell he was frustrated. He was, you know, going insane by doing this for a year or two, however long it was. And then to lose everything you've worked on. And I don't know why he didn't have it backed up, but
yeah,
like that part was just gut wrenching. And I just felt like, dude, I'd love to see the footage that he had. Like, he probably had stuff beyond what this thing had. So,
yeah, he did. He totally had to, because he had like 2 or 3 years of following him nonstop. I mean, crazy. Oh, man. That would make for good TV. But I did feel the same way, like, just crushed, because he hadn't backed up anything, lost it all in a very mysterious fire that.
Yeah.
Joe probably had a hand in, but
well, with all the twists and turns, let's go back to the first thing I was saying. What's some of the craziest things that stood up to you? Or just shocking stuff?
There's so many shocking things. I think the Carol Baskin idea of her killing her husband and feeding him to the cats was kind of crazy. Like that whole episode, it was kind of like, yeah, she totally did that. I mean, she's crazy.
Yeah.
And that part was shocking to me. And then Joe writing a song about it just to, and by the way, he didn't write any of those songs or perform them at all.
Oh, really?
No.
Me and Danielle were thinking, man, he does have a good voice though.
No, those were performed by two guys in like Washington.
Oh, okay.
They
would make the songs and then he would just do the music video part of it and claim they were his.
Yeah. And I guess they didn't find out until this documentary came out or something like that. And they were like, whoa, he did not like, we wrote those songs. That's my voice. But they wrote him.
Because I didn't realize that
he wanted a theme song written. And so he had gotten in contact with them and they're like, yeah, we'll write a theme song for you. And then he would send them these things like, hey, I want you to write a song about this. And they would go, okay. Cause they're just getting paid to write the song. And then he would take them and kind of pass off as his own. That was another shocker for me once I found that out. I mean, the songs are pretty entertaining in themselves. Here, Kitty, Kitty, yeah. And I Saw a Tiger, and which was the song that I intro'd this whole podcast with. So it's all good. But yeah, those were the two big shocking things for me, the music, but also Carol killing her ex-husband, or I don't know, allegedly killing her husband. What about for you? What was shocking?
Yeah, the first one that stands out is the Walmart truck. That really turned my stomach.
Oh, gosh.
They had a Walmart truck that would show up. I mean, this is at Joe's place, the one in Oklahoma, Joe Exotic. And they have all these cats, you know, some are small cubs, but a lot of them are large. Like, what was it, Dusty? Just under 200, right? Like 160, 180 or something.
Yeah, hundreds of tigers and lions.
Yeah. And so they've got to feed them. And it talks about like the local law enforcement. If like an animal got hit on the side of the road, they would call them and they'd go out and pick up like a deer or whatever it was. And so there were some things, but then all of a sudden this Walmart truck pulls in and it's just expired meat. And some of it's, you know, packaged from like the deli or the butcher section. And then some of it's just like packaged hot dogs from wherever that just have expired or are no longer able to be sold. And the crazy thing is I'm thinking, oh, well, I guess it's not going to waste. At least they can rifle through it and feed the tigers, you know, some of this chicken or whatever else there was. But then when I heard the employees were rifling through it for what they wanted first, and they would just eat that meat that, you know, is on the edge of expiring, or I'm guessing is expired.
Oh yeah.
That was just rough. I thought, wow.
Well, and then the idea that they created a pizza parlor and all the people were like, yeah, I wouldn't eat that pizza. All the meat,
dude.
Came from that old, Walmart truck.
From the Walmart deliveries. I wonder if Walmart is taking any flack for it or not. I mean, I don't know. Maybe it's, I don't know. It is a way to not waste food, I guess, in a way. But I mean, when you watch it and then just see how much stuff comes in those trucks, it was very, very strange.
Yeah.
So yeah, that one stood out. And then the other thing is just like how wild Joe got on mainly on his like TV show. I don't know if that was nightly or weekly, but he was really going after Carol and just some of the crazy stuff he would do. Like he mailed her snakes and, you know, she found them in her mailbox when she went to get the mail, but you could just see him just amping up this crazy hatred.
Yeah.
And part of me's thinking he's just doing this for TV, but I, you know, ultimately he just really hated her and was just going all out. And, you know, I can't describe all the things, but if you watch it or if you've seen it, that's, you know, one of the things that stood out is just how spun up and wild he got on his show.
He hated
just going after her.
But I think some of that was him. I mean, I think he did it for the shock value. And then if you go and like, yes, he wanted to harm her. My opinion is that he just played along with whatever was happening. I don't think he really, really, really wanted her dead. I think he just kind of like, well, yeah, I mean, yeah, if you want to, okay. But it's, I don't know. It's kind of hard for me to picture him like really, really going out to try to hurt her like that. I think he had some other help guiding him, but
oh, for sure.
He definitely amped it up over time because he did hate her.
Well, the thing about it is that you have him saying it like you're saying for the shock value. Maybe there is some real hatred there, but he's just doing it over his show and probably getting more listeners or more people to follow him or to come out to the zoo he has. Right. But Ultimately when the other two guys get involved, that's when the plotting starts. And it's crazy that those two were never held to account for being part of it.
Right.
Like they took deals to put it all on Joe. And of course you match that with all these videos and crazy stuff he did to Carol over the years. Boom. It matches up, you know?
Yeah.
But ultimately, like you're saying, I think it was just all talk until he gets some people that are like, oh, we could actually make this happen. Here's how you would do it. And they're like planting the seeds and, you know, putting things into action. So,
yeah,
it's pretty wild.
Those two guys definitely played a role. And then I think part of me also kind of goes with the idea that he, you know, he was all talk. And then these two other guys who basically take plea deals or take like immunity kind of things to start setting it up. Like they were the ones who set it up and he just agreed to stuff. Now that's still bad, but I think none of that would have happened had these two guys who were also really sketchy not become involved in the first place with it.
Exactly.
My thoughts.
I agree.
My thoughts on that. It's not all Joe's fault, but Joe is, I mean, he did some pretty bad stuff.
Now, if all of this that we've said isn't crazy enough, we're probably leaving out many things. So if you didn't take our advice to not listen to avoid spoilers, it's still worth watching.
Yeah.
One person that I did want to mention that I forgot that I did feel bad for is, and another section of the story is Joe ends up running for president and then for governor of Oklahoma and his campaign manager.
Oh yeah.
Like I think even when you get introduced to him, it's a younger guy and he's like, I'm Joe's campaign manager. It was the worst like year and a half of my life. And I just thought, wow, oh my gosh. And just some of the stuff he detailed during that time frame was wild. And it just seemed like, you know, a kid interested in politics, and he was putting in the effort and doing the best he could. But you know, Joe was doing his own thing and just crazy as all get out.
Yeah. That guy, I think that guy did care about Joe and Travis and like all the people there, even though Joe was nuts.
Exactly.
That guy witnessed tons of stuff that, I mean, I don't know that I don't, I mean, he's got stories for years and years to tell.
Exactly. And you can tell like not everything was said. There was definitely other stuff that he had seen. But you could tell, like, imagine going into your job, and I'm sure he was working more than 5 days a week, but maybe daily during leading up to the elections and stuff. And just every day, you never know what you're going to get. It just could be insane, wild craziness, you know, just a roller coaster every single day.
Yep. Now, Zach, I have a story to tell, and I know my wife is going to roll her eyes when she hears this part, because I have had experience with baby tigers before.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Now,
okay.
She thinks I've been telling this story way too much, and it's probably true. So if you've already heard this, skip forward like 5 minutes. But if not, here's a story for you. So outside of Boise towards Nampa, a long time ago, there was a like bird sanctuary. Do you remember seeing that on kind of as you headed toward Nampa, the left side of the freeway? There was all these nets. Do you ever remember seeing that?
No, I don't know how long ago you're talking about, but I don't remember it.
Yeah, it was quite a while ago.
Okay.
I don't know, maybe 12, 15 years. Oh no, more than that. Way more than that. Anyways, there was a place out there that my buddy and our like girlfriends at the time wanted to go see. And we were like, okay, so let's go out. Turns out that this place had animals kind of like Joe did on a much smaller scale. So you walked in and there was a big reptile area, but the iguanas were just sitting on top of the cages, not in cages. And I should have taken that right away as this place is kind of sketchy. And I already hate reptiles anyway, so I like ran through that section. And then when you walk into this big barn, and there's a giraffe in there. Just like
what?
Just behind a little tiny fence that obviously wouldn't keep it in. And they're like, here, have some peanuts, feed it. So you would hold peanuts and this giraffe would just come down and eat the peanuts out of your hand.
Wow.
Which
okay.
I didn't know there was a giraffe. And then we walk out and then there's like a bear in this little cage, which was pretty messed up. But then at one point there was a bunch of little preschoolers, kindergarten age kids. And they said, okay, so we're going to go outside. Please do not put your hands in the tiger's mouths. And I said, what? And so we walk out. And of course, the first thing little kids do is go running. Well, there's kind of like a cyclone fence with two tigers behind it. And then there's some little markers that say, don't go beyond this point, but nothing to stop these little kids. So I was like running like, hey, stop, stop. Don't go up to these tigers. So you could walk right up to this cyclone fence to these two tigers. And
they were full grown?
Full grown. Yeah.
Wow.
Freaking me out. So I was like, oh, this is ridiculous. And then they say, okay, so we're going to let the tigers out. Don't put your hands in their mouth. And I about lost it. I thought, no way are you letting these full grown tigers out. Well, turns out they let out like four little tiger cubs, which were still like up to my knees. Big old paws. And the first thing these little kids do is run up and grab their face. And these,
oh
I mean,
my God.
They're little, I mean, they're still tigers. They're the tiger cubs, but they have big teeth. And so they were just
letting. Were you panicked?
I was very nervous because, I mean, they're cute, but there's a sense of that's still a tiger that can do some damage if it wants to.
Oh, for sure.
And there's all these little kids around. So they had four of them just roaming. So my girlfriend at the time sat down like next to a tree and she had a purse on her shoulder. And one of the tiger cubs walked around and came up right next to her and bit down on her shoulder, like trying to get the purse. And she was kind of like almost in shock, like, oh, what? And so me being Superman, I ran over and I kind of opened the tiger's mouth to get it off of her shoulder. And she stood up and she had two little, like it didn't puncture, but it had two little marks in it, in her shoulder. But I have fought a tiger and shoved my hands in a tiger's mouth, Zach, and I won.
This is crazy. How often do you think about that story, or did it just come up because you watched Tiger King documentary?
Yeah, my wife says I tell that story far too often, but it's a pretty fun story to tell. Only since the Tiger King has come out have I shared that quite often with people.
It's worth sharing. It fits into what's happening right now.
But that
and
was
not a lot of people can say it.
That's right. And that was just down the road from Boise was a place like that. And
so you would just get off the freeway toward Nampa and like it was just
right there off like, the freeway. Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
And it got shut down.
Did they charge you to go in?
Yeah, I think it was like 10, 15 bucks, like nothing, okay. Nothing much. But yeah, I think it did not survive much longer because of the way they had these animals just kept around. They were, yeah, I think they had 2 tigers and 4 cubs. Probably got one from Joe Exotic back in the day.
Yeah, maybe. Through the network.
Through the network of it, yeah. So, but there are some places around here, Babby Farms, which is kind of out towards Caldwell, they're kind of a private zoo, and they have not big cats, but smaller cats and camels and buffalo and kangaroos and stuff like that. Have you ever taken your girls out there?
No, never. All right. Just the Boise Zoo for us is about it.
All right.
I always feel bad for those tigers out there. Those, I think they died or got sold to somewhere else, but there was one tiger, its stomach was swinging around. It looks like a, I don't know, 3,000 pound bloated tiger. Oh man, it was depressing seeing that thing.
Well, as soon as this quarantine ends, we're going to go out to Babby Farms and take your girls and,
okay,
and experience some of those animals up close. But yeah, I mean, I think this is the show. It came at the right time that everyone has to see or will see, because we have nothing else to do. And so,
yeah, that's a good point. I think regardless of that, this one would have been awesome, but it just somehow was perfect timing for people sheltering in place, and they've got a show that they can watch. I did have a question. So those kids, though, on this thing you went to,
yeah,
were they like on a field trip, or did just happen to be a lot of young kids?
No, it was a field trip for their, I would assume, preschool, because no school in their right mind would have sent them to that place. So
probably
a preschool with like 2 teachers and a bunch of little kids running around. It was nuts. And the teachers weren't doing anything. And this was, I was kind of wrapping up my teaching degree, and I even knew at that time that was not okay to do. So yeah, it was crazy.
Well, and then the other thing, or the last question I had, was what were you expecting when you went out there? You were saying it was about birds, so were you thinking it was just going to be some like birds you're looking at, or what were you expecting going into it?
I was expecting birds and maybe like a rescued deer or something like that. Something you would find here in Idaho.
You were thinking it was like all animal rescue type of things.
Yeah. But local, not animal rescue. Here's some tiger cubs and 2 tigers and a bear and a giraffe. That was ridiculous.
Did they try to present it like that? That they were all rescues, or was it just like a mini zoo?
I think it was supposed to be kind of like what Joe Exotic was doing. It was a rescue that they had, you know, people had surrendered these animals to them and they were taking care of them. Although a giraffe should never be surrendered to a little tiny no-name place in Nampa, Idaho, but
yeah. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, it was wild, man. If you haven't seen Tiger King yet, please go watch it. It's definitely worth that. And then comment back. I'll post some stuff on Instagram. Comment back your thoughts and favorite characters and all that good stuff, because this is just something that we can talk about together, even when we're not in the same room. So
exactly. Well, I've enjoyed the conversation. It's great to recap. And like I said, there's probably bits and pieces we left out. So join the conversation. Let us know your favorite parts or the craziest things, the people you feel bad for, the people you hate after it, any of that stuff, any comments accepted and appreciated. Yep. There have been tons of memes also created. So Google that and look at all the memes. There's definitely some interesting ones, some funny ones, and tons of news stories out there.
And our friend
that have spun off of this.
Our past visitor Kyle decided to put my face on top of Joe Exotic's face. And it's pretty ridiculous. So I will post those on Instagram too. He's having a lot of fun doing that for me.
Dusty Exotic, man.
Dusty Exotic, yeah.
So come see his wild animals at the side yard.
That's right. Oh, yeah, okay. I like that idea. I mean, I'm not going to have a tiger, but I do need an animal that I can we can have for the side yard? A goat.
There you go. We already unofficially have the ducks, you know. Those are kind of our mascot right now.
There's so many out there right now. It's crazy.
Whether they're wanted or unwanted.
Yeah. There's some unwanted geese in our backyard right now, behind the side yard, just pooping everywhere. So annoying.
That's not good.
No. So I need to get those out of there. But yeah. Zach, I've appreciated talking with you. I miss you.
I miss you as well. I think there's one more shout out we wanted to do, and then let's wrap this episode up.
Yes. Our friend Faye, who we talked about last week with the beef that she delivered to me, we had some meatloaf with it, and it was incredible. It was incredible. And did you, we delivered some to you. Did you guys partake?
Yeah, we just had them today, hamburgers, and Danielle made hers. She likes her stuff a little more well done, so she made hers and some for the girls, and then I made mine. It was awesome. It was so delicious, and I didn't even think about meatloaf. That's a good idea, so
yeah.
Maybe we'll have to try that next time. But Faye, thank you again. We appreciate it, and really high quality, in my opinion.
Yep. So if you need some, look up on Instagram, Sagebrush Livestock. She's always selling it or making runs to Boise or the other surrounding areas, and well worth the purchase because, yeah, I can't wait to get out. I'm saving some for the first time we can get together and barbecue. We're going to have some burgers together. So I'm saving that for the special occasion.
There you go.
Yeah.
Well, we want to thank all of our loyal listeners. We appreciate you. If you have somebody that's going crazy because they're in shelter in place and they have to stick around their house, maybe recommend the podcast. They can listen and find some enjoyment. Go back and listen to episodes that you've missed. We always appreciate it. Comment on items that we post so that you're part of the conversation. And we appreciate all of our listeners and hope to bring you some great episodes in the coming weeks. We'll definitely try to find ways to incorporate visitors or mini interviews with past visitors just to let you know how things are going with other people in the Boise area and beyond. Dusty, as always, it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much for letting me know you.
Thank you, Zach, for being known.